chapter number 26. Genesis chapter 26. I want to deal tonight with another whale. Last week we preached out of Genesis chapter 24 and tried to preach on this thought, every city needs a whale. Tonight I want to look at another whale that's in the Bible and bring you some thoughts from this passage of Scripture. The Bible says in chapter 26, verse number 1, there was a famine in the land beside the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. Now Isaac went unto Abimelech, king of the Philistines, unto Gerar. The Lord appeared unto him and said, go not down into Egypt, dwell in the land which I shall tell thee of. Sojourn in this land, and I'll be with thee and bless thee. For unto thee and unto thy seed I'll give all these countries. I'll perform the oath which I swear unto Abraham thy father. I'll make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven, and will give unto thy seed all these countries, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Because that Abraham obeyed my voice, and kept my charge, my commandments, statutes, my laws. And Isaac dwelt in Gerar. And the men of the place asked him of his wife. He said, she's my sister, for he feared to say, she's my wife. Lest, said he, the men of the place should kill me for Rebekah, because she was fair to look upon. We'll skip on down to verse number 12 for the sake of time. The Bible says, then Isaac sowed in that land, and received in the same year an hundredfold, and the Lord blessed him. The man waxed great and went forward and grew until he became very great. For he had possession of flocks, possession of herds, and great store of servants, and the Philistines envied him. For all the wells which his father's servants had digged in the days of Abraham, his father, the Philistines had stopped them and filled them with earth. Abimelech said unto Isaac, go from us, for thou art much mightier than we. Isaac departed thence and pitched his tent in the valley of Gerar and dwelt there. Isaac digged again the wells of water which they had digged in the days of Abraham his father, for the Philistines had stopped them after the death of Abraham. He called the names after the names by which his father had called them. And Isaac servants digged in the valley and found there a well of springing water. Brother Kevin, would you pray? Yes, oh Lord. Lord, help me. Amen. Tonight, I want you to look at verse number 15. The Bible says, for all the wells which his father's servants had digged in the days of Abraham his father, the Philistines had stopped them and fill them with earth. Oh, Philistines are God's enemies. They're, I guess you might say, they're a type of the devil. And the Bible says that they had stopped the wells that Abraham's servants had digged, and they filled them with earth. Now, I guess I want to preach tonight on this thought, well dirt. Or maybe I ought to just preach on what's in your well tonight. Or maybe I ought to just preach on, has this world's dirt got you stopped up? Amen. I'm afraid that's a lot of our problem. A lot of times when we come to the house of God, we leave here just like we come. We don't get nothing out of it. We don't put nothing into it because we come in out of a world out here that's got our well stopped up. Now, we know that Jesus, when He saves us, He puts within us a well of water springing up into everlasting life. But let me tell you something. The Philistines or this world or the devil wants to stop your well. And if he can stop your well, he can stop your testimony, he can stop your influence, he can stop your worship, he can stop your prayer, he can stop everything about you that's godly, that God wants out of you. Well dirt. What's in your well? Hey, you know that commercial on TV about the Capital One card? They go through this commercial, and then at the end of the commercial, they say, "What's in your wallet?" Well, I'm asking you tonight, what's in your well? What's in your well? I want you to look real good down into your well tonight and just see what's wrong with your life, your spiritual life. Let's just see if that water's a springing up like it ought to be, or maybe there's some dirt in there got your water muddied up. Maybe it's just filled slap up with dirt like these wells were and ain't nothing coming out of it. Think about it, friend. Well dirt. I want you to notice some things right here in this passage of Scripture right here. First of all, we know that Isaac's a great Bible character. But Isaac had weaknesses. First of all, I want you to look right here at this passage of Scripture. There was a famine. There was a famine in the land. Now, Isaac was in the will of God. He was dwelling where God wanted him to be. But there was a famine come his way. A lot of times we want to fall out with God when something comes our way that we don't like, don't we? When trouble comes our way, we get down on God. We think God don't love us, that God don't care. But I want you to know tonight that this famine was ordered by God. Listen, nothing takes God by surprise tonight. He knows where you're at tonight. He knows what's going on in your life tonight. And let me tell you something, He cares. He cares. He told us to cast all our cares upon Him, for He cares for you. No, we go through this life, we have troubles. Nobody is exempt from troubles. When God saves you, He don't exempt you from troubles. You know what? If everything was a bed of roses, friend, we'd never get to look into God. We'd never call upon God. I found out that prosperity takes you away from God. It don't bring you to God. Oh, but let me tell you something. When a famine comes in your life, oh, you want to call upon God then, don't you? When trouble comes your ways, it usually brings us to God. Because we know where our help comes from, don't we? Amen. He is our help and He is our hope. But there was a famine ordered right here in Isaac's life. I thank God He knew what Isaac had within him. He knew, and He knows about you and me. He knows what we're made out of. But sometimes He puts us in a trouble or in a trial in life so we can see what we're made out of. So we can see how strong our faith is. And so if we go into trouble and we lean upon God and we trust God and we don't turn and run from God, we can come out of our trials stronger than when we went in them. Our faith can be strengthened through a trial, through troubles. Don't blame God. Oh, He's working in your life. Ain't nothing taking Him by surprise. There was a famine that was ordered. But I want you to notice there's a familiar opportunity right here. God visited him when he turned right here and went toward Gerar, when he went toward the Philistines, when he went towards the world and the place that was getting him out of God's will. God stepped in right here. Ain't that the way the Holy Ghost works in my life and in your life? When we want to turn toward the world, when the devil is tempting us to turn from God and to the things of the world, the Holy Ghost will always step in. He'll always give you an opportunity, a familiar opportunity to each one of us. He wants to lead us in the right direction. He don't want us to go down into this world and do the things of this world. It'll lead you in a path of destruction. God will always have you a word. The Bible says in verse number 2, the Lord appeared unto him and said, don't go down into Egypt. This place of Gerar, on the other side of Gerar over there was Egypt. And that's the direction that he was fixing to head out into. God said, don't go down there. Don't go down there. Don't go over into Egypt. Hey, anybody in Egypt tonight? Hey, is anybody in the house of God tonight that's gone out into Egypt? And living it more for the world than you are for God? Think about that. Oh, listen to me, a familiar opportunity. The Lord appeared to him. He had some words to say to him. And God laid it out on the table for him. He said, I'll bless you if you'll do what I tell you. I'll bless you. I've got a blessing for you if you'll do what I tell you. You see, the Word of God requires obedience. God's give us His Word right here, and God will not go back on His Word. God wants to bless us. God wants to lead us. God wants to bring us into troubles and out of troubles as we journey through life. But it requires obedience to the Word of God, don't it? Amen. Oh, listen to me. Listen, we can either go to the world or we can go to God. We've got an option. The decision is up to us. Requires obedience to go with God. But listen, God told him some things right here. As he headed into Gerar, God said, don't go down into Egypt. Sojourn in this land. I'll be with thee. Bless thee. But look now, the Bible says on down in verse 6, and Isaac dwelt in Gerar. So God told him, don't you go all the way over into Egypt. But he was already over in Gerar. God says, sojourn right here. In other words, God says was saying to him, don't drive your tent stakes in. Don't drive them down over here in Gerar. This ain't the promised land. This is not Canaan's land. This is not your homeland. But God said, I'll bless you though anyway. And he did bless him. But I want you to notice the Bible teaches us right here not only a familiar opportunity, but a failure that's observed. He went down there to Gerar. God said, don't go down into Egypt. Dwell in the land that I'll show thee is what he said right here. He's talking about back over there where he was in God's will. He said, that's your home over there now. But we see here that as he went over into Gerar right there, the first thing he did was start lying. First thing he did was get fearful. He was in a strange place. It ought to make us fear God if we get out here in this world and get into the places of this world. There ought to be some fear of God that come over us. He feared over there in the land there. He's afraid that he's going to kill him and take his wife. So he lied. He said, well, she's my sister. But old King Abimelech caught him smooching one day. Ain't that what he said? Behold, Isaac was sporting with Rebekah, his wife. You don't smooch on your sister, do you? Amen. Hey, he got caught. And so he had to just confess up. So I see Isaac's weakness right here in these first few verses right here. The weakness of the flesh. We all got that. The devil knows where your weakness is. You better believe he's going to tempt you in your weak areas. Whatever it might be, you might as well get ready. The devil's going to come right at you. He's going to, when you get outside of these four walls of this church building right here, the devil knows your weakness, and you better believe he's going to test you, and he's going to try to bring out the worst in you. But when God puts you through a test, he wants to bring out the best in you. Strengthen you. Listen to me, friend. The weakness of the flesh. The weakness of his faith. Listen, friend. He had the promises that God had promised Abraham. He had the land of Canaan. God said, I'm going to give you all of this. And yet when the famine come along, he takes off towards Egypt. He had a weakness of faith. Anybody's faith in here weak? Huh? When a trial comes, you're going to run to God or from God? You need God. Let me tell you something, friend. There was a famine in the land in them days. Let me tell you something. We live in troubled times right now. We live in perilous times. You need God. You need God raising your children. You need God to bless you. You need God to put food on your table and a roof over your head, shoes on your feet. You need God in your life, and you need more of Him every day. Well, if we just realized, if God took His hand off of us for 1 minute, the devil would kill you. He'd kill you. We need God in our life. We need His blessings, friend. Oh, listen to me. Unbelief. His faith was weak. Unbelief says this. How can I get out of this? Talking about the trials and troubles. How can I get out of this? But faith says this. What can I get out of this? What can I get out of this? God's trying to teach you something. If you're having some kind of problems, friend, look to God. He'll teach you some things through your troubles. And if you'll lean on Him, you can be like Job. When he said, when He's tried me, I shall come forth as gold. That's what God wants to produce in us. A better person. A better Christian. Isaac's weakness. Well, let's look at Isaac's wealth. His wealth. When he got over there, friend, he started to be blessed after he confessed. You hear that? When he was confronted with his sin, he confessed. He said, well, I lied because I thought y'all was going to kill me from my wife. But you'll notice in your Bible that right after he confessed, in verse number 12, the Bible says, then Isaac sowed in that land and received in the same year 100-fold, and the Lord blessed him. God likes honesty. God likes to hear His children confess. The Bible says there's not a just man on earth that doeth good and sinneth not. So you might as well take your little halo off and just confess up. We all sin and come short of the glory of God. But thank God, if He said if we'll confess our sins, He'd be faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What a Savior. What a God. Oh, let me tell you something, friend. We owe the Lord a lot, don't we? Oh, Isaac in his wealth. I want you to notice Isaac in his work. In verse number 12, it says he sowed in that land. God still honors work, don't He? Yeah, man. Work. He tells us back over in the book of Genesis here that man ought to earn his bread by the sweat of his brow, don't he? We live in a day and time when everybody wants a paycheck, but nobody wants to work for it, don't they? Amen? Ain't that the truth? More and more people in this country think somebody owes them something when they ain't done nothing for it. Amen? It's taking this country down a path way, friend, of debt that can't ever be repaid. It's going to be all put on the backs of our children and our grandchildren. Amen. You know what the average retirement age was before Social Security come along? Or the average time of retirement was before Social Security come along? 2 years. 2 years. A person worked till he got old, till he got sick, and couldn't work, and his average lifespan after he couldn't work was 2 years. Then he went out to meet God. Hey, sure is quiet. Nobody wants to work anymore. That's amazing to me. Well, all right, I'll move on. His work. Isaac sowed. He got out there and done a little digging himself. Sowed. God honored it and God blessed him for it. His work. His waxing. In verse 13 and 14 it says, the man waxed great and went forward and grew until he became very great. Very great. For he had possession of flocks, possession of herds, and great store of servants. And the Philistines envied him. Don't think you're going to be friends with this world. Friendship with the world, James says, is enmity with God. You can't be a friend of God and be a friend of this world. Just don't work. Don't line up with God's Word, friend. His waxing, his work, his waxing. He went from great to very great. But I want you to notice Isaac's wealth and this wealth right here. I want you to notice his wells. The Philistines didn't want his flocks. They didn't want his herds. They didn't want nothing but his wells. His wells. They wanted to stop them with dirt. Ain't that something? You can't be a friend of this world. Listen, the world's not going to pat you on the back for being a good Christian. They're not going to pat you on the back for evangelizing. No. What this world wants to do is what these Philistines were doing here. They want to stop your well. So if you get out here and try to be friends with the world, friend, don't expect God to bless you. Don't expect to be on an upward path in your spiritual life. The Philistines want to stop you. They want to stop you. Oh, let me tell you something, friend. His weakness, it was present. His wealth, it's not in these things. Let me tell you, your wealth tonight is not in your things. It's not in your stuff. It's not in your bank account. It's not in your 401k. Your wealth is not there. No, no, no. God can take that. He can take all that stuff just like this. He can take it away from you. Your wealth's not even in your health. He can take that too. But let me tell you something. Your wealth tonight is in your well. That well of water that God has put in you, springing up into everlasting life. A well that lost sinners can come to and drink out of. A well that you can come to the house of God and lift His name high and holy and worship and pray and thank Him for what He's done for you in your life. You can share that well with the people that's thirsty in this world. No greater wealth can you possess than that well of water springing up within you to everlasting life. That well of salvation that God has placed within you, friend. Oh, let me tell you something. Isaac's true wealth was in his wells. And I want to close with this tonight. Not only Isaac's weakness and Isaac's wealth, but Isaac's warfare. His warfare. See, it started out right here for Abraham's wells. Verse 18, Isaac digged again the wells of water which they had digged in the days of Abraham his father, for the Philistines had stopped them after the death of Abraham. Hey, listen to me. Dig you some wells. Dig you some wells. Abraham had passed on. The Philistines had stopped his wells. Let me tell you something. The churches all across our land today, you know what they're trying to do? They're trying to bring new stuff in to take the place of the old wells. I tell you what a lot of these old churches need to do. These churches is trying to be real liberal, trying to be real modern. They need to get back into the old paths, into the old ways of preaching and praying and worshiping God and come to the house of God and listen, man, worship God. Worship God. Stick with the old path. I tell you what they need to do. They need to dig out the wells of these old fathers of ours that was come along 100 years ago. How the wells that they dug, the lives that they lived, and the things that they did, friend. We just need to dig out some old wells and not look at these new things that churches are trying to bring in to draw the crowds to them today. We still need the old paths. We need to worship God. Oh, let me tell you something, friend. He's worthy of our praise tonight. He's worthy to be worshipped tonight. And we ought to come to the house of God. Oh, our well ought to be springing up when we come into the house of God. Oh, listen to me, friend. Abraham's wells. I wonder how many blessings we've received from somebody else's well. Think about it. Anybody in your past, maybe done gone on now, you was blessed from their well. You was able to drink from their well as they journeyed through this life. It strengthened you for the journey. Abraham's well. He was cleaning out Abraham's wells. Oh, I want you to notice something here in just a little bit. We'll get to it. You think about this. Abraham's wells was what was there. But now I want you to notice Isaac's walk. In verse 17, he's still over in Gerar. He moved just a little ways. The old king over there said, won't you just get on out of here? You're mightier than we are. So he just moved out a little ways. He moved over into the valley of Gerar. But I want you to notice on down in verse number 23, he found when he got over there in the valley and he started cleaning out the wells, there was strife. There was a warfare going on. He was still over there in a foreign land, in a place where God wasn't pleased with. So the Philistines strove with them. They wanted the wells that they dug over there in the valley right here. But now notice down in verse number 23. The Bible says, verse 22, he removed from thence. Verse 23 it says, and he went up from thence to Beersheba. This right here is a picture of him getting back into the will of God. He finally decided over there in Gerar, in the place of the Philistines, the place of the world, the place of the snares, the place of the devil, the things that was going on over there. He finally come to his senses and realized, this ain't where God wants me to be. So he moves back to Beersheba, the place where he's in the will of God. Listen, his walk, he went up. God had told him, don't go down. But he went to Gerar anyway. Now he's going up. The way we ought to all be heading. Up. His walk, his work, he digged again. Notice in verse number 18, the Bible says, and Isaac digged again the wells of water. Notice this thing of leadership right here. He took the initiative. He took the role of leader. Isaac, as I said a while ago, he wasn't afraid to get his hands dirty. Hey, how about you? How are you going to lead your family? How are you going to lead your grandkids? How are you going to let God use you to lead at the house of God and out here around your friends? Hey, we need some people that will take the initiative to be a leader to dig some wells. Isaac digged again the wells of water, which they had digged in the days of Abraham his father. Oh, his work. Listen to me, friend. If you ever experience revival, if a church ever experiences revival, somebody is going to have to dig some wells. Somebody's going to have to clean out the well dirt. Somebody's going to have to clean out the junk that this world has thrown in your well. And you're going to have to keep it clean so folks can get a drink of water from your well. Oh, listen, his work. But notice then, his workers in verse number 19. Now Isaac digged, and notice this in verse 19, and Isaac's servants digged in the valley and found there a well of springing water. You see, they was following the leader. We need people to step up. Now, it's good to follow, but it's better to lead. Amen? God's looking for some leaders. Just as soon as Isaac said, well, I'm going to dig again. I'm going to get some junk out of the well. I'm going to clean out the well. His servants said, well, give me a shovel. I believe I'll clean out some wells too. Hey, listen. Listen, we're all a part of the body of Christ if we're saved. And if we're going to be the functioning part of the body that God wants us to be, friend, we need our wells cleaned out. These servants. We want to serve God? Good start be clean out your well. Get things right. His workers, his war, they were striving with him over there. In Gerar. But now I want you to notice as we go just a little further, Isaac's worship. Now in verse 23, he's got back to Beersheba. Verse 25, the Bible says, and he builded an altar there and called upon the name of the Lord and pitched his tent there. And there Isaac's servants digged a well. Boy, this verse right here says a lot. This is the first altar that Isaac's built. First altar that's mentioned about Isaac building an altar in your word right here. Listen to me. God brought you out of Egypt one day when you were lost in darkness and trespasses, friend. If you're in the will of God tonight, you need an altar. Isaac wanted to worship God. I believe with all my heart, Isaac was looking back. My goodness, he was probably thinking, I was headed towards Egypt. I was headed toward destruction. God spoke to me. God turned me around. And I want to worship Him. I want to thank Him for what He's done for me. Oh, listen to me, friend. He's come out of Egypt. He's back in the will of God now. Now I want you to notice some things that happens right here. The Bible says in that same verse that there, Isaac's servants digged a well. Notice this, his well. Servants were digging. But now notice this in the very next verse. Now I'm not going to be long now. Listen. Now get this now. He's back in the will of God. He's turned his back on old King Abimelech over there. He's got out of the country. He's back where he's supposed to be. Notice what this says. Then Abimelech went to him from Gerar. He followed him home. You know what he said? Just summarizing these next few verses right here. He said, let's me and you be friends. Let's me and you, let's just get along. Let's just be friends. Boy, the world would love to be your friend. But God cautions us about that, don't he? But I want you to notice right here now. Abimelech wants to be his friend. Now, in verse 31, the Bible says this. They rose up betimes in the morning and swear one to another. Notice this. And Isaac sent them away. Get. Oh, and they departed from him in peace. Notice this now, and I'm closing, I'm through. Notice this. When he sent them away, in verse 32, the Bible says this, and it came to pass the same day that Isaac's servants came and told him concerning the well which they had digged, and said unto him, we have found water. You want to find some water down at your house? You want some water in your well? Then send old Abimelech away. Tell him to get back where he come from, and you can have some water flowing out of your well that'll be a blessing to your servants, to your house, to your, hey, to everybody you come in contact with. You can be a blessing. Great lesson. Well dirt. Oh, we walk around as Christians, supposed to be the light of the world, supposed to be evangelizing the world, and our wells is full of dirt. We live in a day, let me tell you something, friend, we live in a day when the devil has got plenty of dirt to stop your well with. Can I tell you something? It don't take but just a little bit to muddy your water to where it ain't fit to drink. To nobody. Anybody got any dirt in their well tonight? Stand with me. Sister Sherry.